Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Good.
We're going to be one happy family. You know how your family is all snuggled together. That's what how we have to do. Because when I initially came in, they just had a few chairs right this way. And I said, well, by the numbers that are here, we're going to probably be packed out today. So I'm glad to see so many people out this morning. How many have been to Navigate before? Wow, and the rest of you, this is your first time? Oh, awesome. So where's everybody from? Churches, states?
Tennessee.
Virginia.
Nebraska.
All right. Cornhusker.
Gardner, North Carolina.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Wow.
New Bern, North Carolina.
Okay. All right.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Okay. All right. I'm Greenville, South Carolina. And every time I tell someone from Greenville, they say, oh, Greenville, North Carolina. I said, we have one in South Carolina, too. I think people just think there's this North Carolina. They forget about South Carolina. Yeah. All right. Well, this morning we're going to talk about spiritual leadership. And I need to open this, and I'm going to try not to hit you when I throw it back this way. Okay. So we're going to open up in prayer, and then we'll start talking. Is that okay with everyone? Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's once more again that we come before your presence with thanksgiving. Lord, we just thank you for being such an awesome God, and thank you for this awesome day and this awesome conference. We pray your Spirit's guidance as we discuss spiritual leadership, and Lord, just help us to develop under your guidance. Lord, we just thank you for every church that's represented, every household that's represented, and we pray that we would just be a blessing and have an impact on our church and our community when we return. So God, again, we just invoke the Spirit's guidance upon this discussion. Be within our midst. In your name we do pray. Amen. Okay. When you see the word leader or leadership, what just comes to mind when you see that word?
A guide.
A guide. Okay. Okay.
Person.
Okay. In front. Oh. Example. Okay.
Authority.
Certainly.
Teacher.
And I apologize for my writing in advance. So.
Shepherd.
Okay. And as I tell the students at my church, if I misspell something, just be my spell check and beep at me, because I hate to have misspelled words on the board. That irks me. So just beep if I misspell something. Okay. Anything else? Okay. So when we look at the word leader or leadership, we think of being a guide, being a person in front, being a role model, being an example, having authority, being a teacher, being a shepherd, and those are all correct. So now, let me ask you, I assume that the majority of people in here this morning hold some type of leadership position in your respective churches or in ministry, so let me just get an idea of what type of leadership positions or roles you all have at your respective churches. So, okay, so we have... And I just put Sam, single adult ministry, okay.
Bible study.
We'll do shorthand, Sunday school.
BSF,
okay. Okay. Helps. Leadership Council. I'll put LC. Everybody knows what that means. Now that she said it. Okay.
I'm an events planner.
Events planner. Ooh, that's an exciting job. EP. I'm being lazy. Okay. All right. So we have a good mixture of leaders here. How many of you are praying about going into leadership at your church as a ministry? Okay, that's great. This is a good place to get direction. Okay, as you are have kind of defined what you feel a leader or leadership is, and I need to get out of the way, I want you to kind of look at this model up here, and I want someone to read Hebrews 5:12-14 for us. And after they read, I want you to look at that model and tell me where you feel that we as leaders should be in that model. Or where do you think leaders are? And we'll discuss that.
In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you all the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not equated with teaching about the righteousness. But solid food is for mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Okay. Jeff, what does that say to you? How do you feel after you just read that? What is that saying to you?
I'm responsible.
Okay.
And what I mean by responsible is I don't go unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
I go prayed up and ready before we start our Bible study.
Okay. All right. Certainly. And if you look at the model there, we kind of have four stages, if you will, of spiritual babies, spiritual children, spiritual young adults, spiritual mature. And the babies are on milk. And when we say milk versus solid food, what do you think the Word of God is meaning by that? When it says milk versus solid food.
You start out with milk.
Yes. And what does milk symbolize?
Elementary teachings of the Word,
the basics, okay? And then what do you think other food could be? Still maybe influenced by some secular things, maybe, right? And then how about your focus when you're a spiritual baby? How many people were here last night and listened to Freddie's message? He really taught about that. So how can I get myself together? How can I, mature? How can I, whatever. Everything is I, me, myself, and I, okay? Then you kind of, as you continue to grow, become spiritual children, and you graduate to solid food, and that's a little bit deeper teaching of the Word of God. That means, you're coming to, not only are you going to, maybe as a baby you're just going to Sunday worship, but now, you're doing personal devotions at home, you're going to Bible study, maybe you have some care groups, and you are on other food, but then you begin to feed yourself, and that means you're taking, you don't have to have someone to say, come on, go to church with me, go to Bible study, go to Sunday school. You're taking it upon yourself to seek God. And then, what happens with the focus as children? It goes from, it's still self, but who else is involved now?
Christ.
All right. So, you know, your primary concern is yourself, but now you're thinking about Christ as well, which is good. And then we go on to spiritual young adults, still solid food. Young adults are feeding, themselves. But then what happens to the focus?
Reverses.
Yeah. Christ. You understand, well, Christ needs to be first in my life. And then, you're still thinking about yourself. and then when we graduate to being spiritually mature on solid food, but you're feeding others now. What does that mean when you're feeding others, do you think? Yes, sharing the word and giving yourself away in selfless ministry, giving up your time, okay? And then your focus yet again changes. Christ is still in the forefront, but now we have others involved. And here again, if you remember, for those of you that were here last night when Freddie talked about, he gave that last example of Bob and talked about how selfless he was in his life. So and this is crucial. So now, where do you think most leaders find themselves? In here. A little bit of...
I think it runs
the gamut of all. It can. That's true. Where do you think we should aspire to be? Yeah, we should aspire to be there. And unfortunately, what happens in a lot of our ministries and churches, because there is a... the demand outweighs the supply. We kind of start pulling people who may not necessarily be ready to handle these roles, but because we're like, well, I work a full-time job, and I'm just at my church 7 days a week. I'm tired. I need some help. So the first person that's breathing, he's like, come here. I got a leadership role for you. And that's not the best way to handle that. I mean, you know, we need to be in prayer. But we're praying, you know, as leaders in all these positions in our single adult ministry and Bible study, Sunday school, BSF, helps, leadership council, and events planning. I mean, we should be aspiring to be spiritually mature in all those roles, because it makes a huge difference if we are spiritual babies and in those roles, because not only are we hurting ourselves, but we are hurting the others that we're supposed to be serving as well. Okay? All right, any questions about that? Okay, now let's look at leadership characters. Somebody read the scripture that's there, Galatians 5, 13 through 26, please.
For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, and envying one another.
Powerful scripture, right? Wow, powerful. Okay, so after hearing that read in Galatians 5, what do you think are the characteristics of Christian leaders? Because there is a difference than just saying I'm a leader versus being a spiritual or a Christian leader. So from what we just read, what can you ascertain from that? What does it take to be, what characteristics should all of us be exhibiting as Christian leaders? Walking in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit, by the way? Is there just some light that's in your path and people see this, you walk this light? I mean, how do you walk in the Spirit? How do you practically do that?
It's a day-to-day thing, walking with Christ.
Yes.
And serving and, you know, letting Him, you know, speak to you and praying and
emulating Him.
Yes, yeah. And it all comes when your focus does this, when He becomes first in our focus. You know, you can't walk in the Spirit and your focus is on you, and when your focus is about you first. But once Christ becomes first, then you can begin that the right way to walk. So first of all, it's a walk that we have to have, and we have to walk in the Spirit. What else can you ascertain from that?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit, yes. And there's a whole list of them. And He tells us, so my pastor always says, he said, we should not judge one another, but we can be fruit inspectors. So then, you see the list: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So we have this entire list of all these fruits of the Spirit. So as we are inspecting fruit of ourselves and others in leadership, if some of these things are missing, then we need to, first of all, check ourselves first. You know, we're always good at confined, but we need to do an assessment. We need to read through these and say, do I exhibit, you know, these traits? And if I'm not, you know, what's wrong, you know, with my walk? And how do I need to get back to this path where I am, you know, exhibiting and emulating Christ? Because Christ is our ultimate example in all of this. Okay, what else would you say?
I love serving one another.
Yes. Is that always easy?
No.
Because if I've had I'm a Christian leader, and I just had a terrible day at work. I just worked 12 hours, and all I want to do is just get home on the couch and watch the ball game. And my phone rings, and someone needs, you know, my help at the church. And I'm like, so do I look at the call ID and say, whoop. But it says, by love, we have to service one another. And we all, you know, whether you have children, significant, how many people are married, by the way? Any married folks in here? Okay. So if you're married, you definitely should have love down. And for those of us who are single adults, you know, some of us might have children. You know, others have been in relationships. We have family members. So, you know, love is an action, right? You know, it's one thing for a person to say, I love you, but love is action. And so, what are some ways we can service one another? I mean, I just gave one example. What do you think true love? When you say, you know, I love, you know, I'm a Christian leader, and I love my church, and I love the people in my church. What does that mean when you say that?
You put their needs before
your needs. Yes, yes. And again, that can be a struggle at times. And again, you know, I mean, you have to have time for yourself. I'm not saying, you know, you be on call 24/7 unless you're the pastor. But there has to be an understanding on your part is that, you know, Christ and others. Christ and others. But we can't neglect ourselves as well. And I'm doing another workshop later on about quiet time. We have to have our time for ourselves as well. But by love, we have to service one another. What else?
I think we don't hold resentment.
True. No resentment. And that's true. And I have a perfect example. When I got to my hotel last night, about midnight, and the hotel, where I had my confirmation, and I gave it to the desk clerk, and she said, I'm sorry, sir, but all the rooms, there are no vacancies here. And I was like, what? And all I want to do is get into bed and, you know, just rest.
Where were you staying?
At the Battleground Inn. Navigate had booked my hotel, and unfortunately something happened, and I was like, okay, don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. And luckily, the other people in my church were at another hotel, so I just kind of went to their hotel and got me another room there, so it all worked out. So, but, I mean, little things like that can happen that can cause resentment in your life. Now, had I allowed that to steal my focus, I could not have been standing before you this morning. And even though it was tempting, you know, Satan tried to get in there, and it was like, okay, and I was like, it's not even worth it. I think the clerk, and I said, okay, I can go to another hotel. But that's what we have to, you know, beware of, because if you are resentful, and I, at my church, I'm a member of Bethlehem Baptist in Simpsonville, and I oversee the fellowship ministries there, and I met with one of my presidents, and one of the things I told him, because he was just so upset and had a lot of resentment in him, and he told me his entire ministry had that same resentment. And I was like, you know why? I said, because you do. And I said, we as leaders have to make sure that, I said, if you're upset, come and talk to me. I said, you can yell and scream and cry and do whatever you need to with me, but don't do it in front of the people that you're leading, because if they're going to emulate you as their president. So if you're upset, they're going to be upset. If you're mad, they're going to be mad. But if you're happy and, you know, inside, it might not be, but, you know, we have to be mindful of that. And it's not trying to say that we're not being honest, but we have an accountability of the people that we serve. And so we have to be mindful of that. And that's very key. Yes.
I think that leads to, it talks about living in the Spirit.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
That's so true.
And that's, it's not just when we're at church, when
yes.
we're in a hotel, mm-hmm. wherever we are.
That's so true.
Living in the Spirit.
That's so true. Yeah, it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you have another package?
Yes, I think I had handouts in the back. Yes,
thank you.
Certainly.
I think along with that too is being able to forgive.
Yeah,
you know,
certainly.
Hurt us personally. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, we have to.
That's it. Because, and this is a barometer of forgiveness. Whoever, you know, did you wrong, or you think did you wrong, because a lot of times it's just in your mind anyway. And every time you see them, if you want to go outside and flatten their tires, then you're not there. But if when you see that person, there's just no internal reaction. You know, they haven't, you know, as we say, made up, no, there went my day. If that no longer happens, you know, true forgiveness has taken place. And sometimes it takes a while, but we are commanded by Scripture to forgive. You're right. And those two go hand in hand. Okay? Any other characteristics of Christian leaders?
I think what you said earlier, the accountability.
Yes, accountability. Talk about that, please. Man, it's so true. You want to explain?
Well, first off, as a Christian leader, you're accountable to Christ.
Yes.
And as any kind of leader, teacher, pastor, whatever, you're going to be looked on differently from Christ.
So true.
You know, and we have a greater responsibility.
Yes.
Personally, I don't have a group, you know, that I am accountable to, as far as you. But when you're in a leadership position, like I do Bible studies, so I feel accountable to those people that I need to present myself in a, you know, in a worthy manner.
Yes.
I'm like, I didn't catch his name over there, but like saying being prepared and prayed up and ready to present the Word of God, you know, that kind of thing.
True.
And it's probably helpful to have at least maybe one or two, maybe three people that check you.
Yes.
You know, do that for inspection on you.
So true.
Sometimes we look at ourselves, you know, either too hard or, you know, with jaded eyes or whatever, where if we can feel comfortable with a few people that we can, you know, unburden ourselves, that they can help us look at things a little more objectively.
So true. So true.
It's good to have that.
So true. Yes.
Oh,
yes, my goodness. That is so true. There is nothing worse than to hear someone that say that they are a child of God and they don't look the part. This is one job you need to look for. You just can't be looking all sad and negative and your body language is saying, get away from me. That you can't be in Christian leadership with that attitude.
My senior director in my department, love him dearly, but he is the most negative person I've ever worked with in my entire life. I'm a very joyful, happy person, but our office, we share an office. And he's been this way for about a year and a half, and we're almost finished with a new building. I'm like, thank you. But, I mean, I literally, about 3 weeks ago, was in our senior pastor's office just crying. I have lost my joy for this, and I love what I do, and I am called by God to be where I am. And it's like, I was telling Lee earlier, it's like people ask me, you get paid to do this? I'm like, yes, I do. But it's so true, because it doesn't bring people, when you're around somebody, you don't bring them up, they bring you down.
That's true.
And it's so difficult. Another one I put down was that we have to be really careful that we're inspecting ourselves for pride issues.
Yes, pride issues.
Because a lot of times we take ownership of our ministry areas, and it's really not about, well, again, it's not about us. It's not our ministry, it's God's, and we have to watch that very carefully.
That's so true. Let me ask you this. How many people in here are Christians? Okay, you know, by default, you're a leader when you say you're a Christian, because we have a world filled with people that are not saved, that don't know Christ. So by default, wherever you go, you are that leader. You're a Christian leader. That by default puts you as a Christian leader. Yes.
I was just going to say that. As a teacher, and when I profess that I'm a Christian, and I pray for my kids when they take a test and whatnot, so I'm accountable.
Yes.
They make me accountable.
That's
true. You're having a bad day, Miss Winston? And I'm like, say, Lord, forgive me.
Yes.
You know, this is not in front of them.
That's true. That's true.
You know, because they will provoke. Teenagers will provoke.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
To certain, you know, way that you have to be with them. And, you know, I have to turn around and say, I'm the adult.
Yes.
The child still, even though you may be 18.
Yes.
You know, and I shouldn't have gotten upset.
Mm-hmm.
I could have told you what I did in a very calm way.
That's true.
You would have said.
Good point.
You know.
I was also going to say, I think you really have to have a focus. And what I mean by that is the church is so hungry for reliable leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to ask you to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you really need to have a focus where your gifts are and where God's calling you, so you know what to say yes to and what to say no to.
So true. So true.
Yourself.
You're absolutely right.
Being an encourager.
Yes, being an encourager. And yes,
well,
Calvin.
Is that what you're talking about? I guess my word is called. I mean, it says for you have been called.
Yes,
you know,
that is so true.
Out there, leaders, and they're not.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that your gift?
Yes. And
where are you called to be a leader?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important that we have at our churches, all of our churches, we should have some system of allowing people to take those spiritual gifts tests and make sure that they go through the discipleship and all that, get training to understand, you know, is this truly my calling? One of the best things that happened to the single adult ministry at my church was that the president of the ministry came last year. Three of us came last year, and our president came. And after going through the workshop, she told me when she got home, she said, Ernest, she said, I am not called to be the president of our singles marriage. And I thanked her. Because do you know how difficult that would have been? Some people would have served in that capacity knowing that they were not called. And I have so much respect for her for telling me that as a president. Because, you know, most people, oh, I'm the president. You know, I'm running things here. But if you're not called, you're not effective. And I really appreciated her telling me that. And to this point, we still don't have a president because we are making sure that we are praying and seeking God's guidance. Which, you know, we always do that, but we want to make sure that the next person that goes into this role is truly called and that they are ready. Because being the president of a singles ministry is not easy. It's all the dynamics for the single adult ministry is challenging, just to say the least. Okay. If you look at, oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Being submissive to God and then to your
leadership. Yes. And again, when we say that we put Christ first, that's what that means. We are submitting to His Lordship. And that means over everything in our lives. Not just some things, but over every. When we say we make Him Lord, that means He's over every aspect of our lives. Thank you. Okay, if you look at the bottom, what does the food for thought say?
Also, like, same word.
Oh, sir. That's so true. Being in the Word, studying the Word, having a quiet time. Okay. What does the food for thought say at the bottom of that page, page 4 that we're on?
Leaders do not have to prove that God is guiding them. God's presence will be unmistakable.
Okay. So, again, if we are modeling those fruits of the Spirit, His presence is unmistakable. That, you know, you don't have to say, I'm the president, I'm the teacher, I'm the Bible study leader, I'm the coordinator, I'm whatever. You don't have to do that. You know, people can see that in you. It's a calling. All right. If you look, it says, it refers to Appendix A, traits of a leader. Let's kind of skip to the back there. And we're not going to go in depth, but just for your knowledge, so that you would see some of these. And there's, and I love this because there's scripture references to this as well. You have to be committed, be confident, be decisive. That's very important as a Christian. You just have to be decisive. be dependable. You know, people have to know that they can depend on us as Christian leaders. Be diligent, efficient. Have perseverance, must be persuasive, yet not manipulative. That's a fine line sometimes. Be prompt. And the people at my church know that's one thing that hurts me to death when leaders are not prompt. I if there's one thing that I need to pray on about losing my cool with is people are not prompt, because that just it doesn't sit well. because one of our leaders in one of the ministries I oversee at my church, I, you know, sometimes I'll just pop in on their sessions and see how everything's going. Of course, I was there 15 minutes before time, you know, just waiting. And the leader, you know, we had people had showed up, and the leader got there like 15 minutes after. And I approached the leader in the parking lot, and I wasn't necessarily in the spirit when I did, but... And we had this huge argument. I was like, do you not know that you're the leader of this ministry? You need to be here before that. And she was like, I am not going there with you right now. And I had to, even though, you know, I should have handled that differently, but it was just, that's just one of my pet peeves. And so, but I had to make it known, I think I got my point across, that, you know, as leaders, we cannot, you know, we can't, you know, say, you know, my class starts at this time, because people's time is valuable. You know, all of our time is valuable, and we have to be prompt. I mean, that's just something, and that goes beyond the ministries, the Bible studies that we lead. That means our job. You know, if the work day starts at 8, we need to be there at 8. If we have an hour lunch, we shouldn't take an hour and a half lunch. I mean, that's just, it should be, again, it's about our lifestyle. So it all goes hand in hand. We must be prudent. Resourceful, responsible, tactful. Again, I wasn't tactful when I addressed that. We must be thorough and thoughtful. So in your own time, you can kind of go through the scriptures there and kind of meditate on that as well. Okay. Page 5, becoming a spiritual leader, about preparation. And I have several scriptures that I need for us to look at. And I'll write them up, and I need, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 people to find these scriptures. Okay. First of all, talking about heart preparation. So the first is Jeremiah 17. 9 through 10, Matthew 15, 18 through 20, Matthew 22, I can't read my writing, I think that's 37, and Romans 10:10. Okay.
Jeremiah.
Okay.
17,
okay.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searched the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing.
Okay. So knowing that about the heart, what type of preparation does that tell us as leaders we have to do?
Reflection and prayer.
Yes, reflection. Yes, because the basic nature of the heart is what again?
It's deceitful.
Yeah, it's deceitful. And we have to be careful. Yeah, you have to be careful. So that's why it's so good that we have to make sure that we prepare all those other things that we talked about, like having quiet time and our own personal devotion with God, that we are prepared to handle whatever can throw our way, because it's easy. Again, we walk a fine line sometimes. And again, I think Freddie mentioned that last night. He said the pastor said he always walks a fine line between you know, two things, so we have to remember that. Okay? Matthew 15:18-20.
I'm reading from the Living Bible.
Okay.
But evil words come from an evil heart and defile the person who says them. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all other sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands could never defile you and make you unacceptable to God.
Okay, so again, we are hearing that things that come from our heart defile us. So again, it's that much more important that we prepare our hearts for the service that we're in, for our own personal growth. It's very important, you know, that we get that. Okay? Matthew, is it 22:37 or is it something else? I said my writing is kind of bad there.
22:37.
Thank you.
He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Okay. How do we do that? How do you think we do that, Calvin? Right? How do you think we love the Lord with all of our heart?
Prepare yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You ask God to cleanse you, to show you if there's any sin, any wickedness, whatever in your heart, mm-hmm. you can become that person that he wants you to be.
Yes. Okay. Anybody else?
Giving everything to him.
Yes.
Just releasing everything and just allowing him to fill in with him.
Yes.
Fill your whole being with him.
That's so true. Everybody's familiar with the hymn, I surrender all. Mm-hmm. And we have to have that mindset, you know, say, you know, all to Jesus. I surrender everything to him. I empty myself out so he can pour into me.
The new version is I surrender some.
Yeah, okay, really? That's true. We do that. Leave a little bit, right?
You
better grab it and
pick it back up.
I know. Okay, Romans 10:10.
I have that one. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
Okay, so if you kind of see these two scriptures kind of tell us what the heart is capable of, but these tell us in a bad light, but these scriptures kind of exhort us to say, but the heart has a positive side as well. And so, you know, it's with the heart that we believe, and so that belief, you know, brings about our faith in Christ and our faith in our walk and in what we do. So, I mean, it's up to us to see which side of the line we're going to be on. Okay? Any other comments about heart preparation?
Especially when we're going through hard times,
mm-hmm.
even though I've had a horrible day, Lord, I still will love you.
Yes.
Even though this, I still love you even more. Mm-hmm. I hold on to you even more.
That's so true.
Hold my hand.
Yes. And again,
just thank you, Lord, for a good day.
Yes. You're right. Okay.
This kind of reminded me too of David when he was right after Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. He said to God, create in me a clean heart.
Yes,
so
he did.
Even after his sin, mm-hmm. he knew he had to get right in his
yes.
heart.
That's so
to
true.
Make that change.
That's so true. And that, as leaders, we're gonna fall.
Right.
I mean, you know, there are no perfect Christians. You know, we're going to fall, but we have to be like David, have sense enough to humble ourselves and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me when we mess up, because we will. And you know that's a part of allowing pride to get out of the way and submitting. And it can be very difficult for us to submit, especially those of us who are men in leadership. It can be very difficult for us to submit sometimes. Okay? And in line with heart preparation, we're going to talk about mind preparation as well. And some more scriptures. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Again, Matthew 22:37. Romans 12:2. And Philippians 1:2-5. So again, now we're talking about our mind preparation. Okay. Okay.
1 Peter 1:13-16. So brace up your minds, be sober. This is the Amplified.
Okay.
Be sober, circumspect, mortally alert. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, divine favor that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am.
Certainly. And again, you know, you have to get in your mindset, you know, this is a way of life for me. It's leadership. It's not something I do while I'm at church or while I'm at the ministry meeting. It is a way of life. This is who I am, because that's how Christ is. Okay? And again, we can read this again because we need to hear it again. Matthew 22:37. Reinforcement.
He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Okay. And so again, the question, how do you love God with all your mind? We heard about how to love him with all our heart. How do you love him with all of your mind? What do you think?
You choose. Keep him in your thoughts.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Read scripture about taking every thought captive.
Yes.
To the obedience to Christ. So if you're thinking something that's unbiblical, you have to stop.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. And another scripture that comes to mind in Psalms 1 says, "Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but in God's law he meditates, what?
Day
and night." And that's how we have to do. We have to, you know, when you're on your commute to work and someone cuts you off, meditate on the Lord. Don't get road rage. It's all about your mind. So we, again, we have to be covered.
1 Peter, where it says, "Gird up the loins of your mind."
Yes, that's so true. You have to gird up the loins. That's so true. Yes, yeah, so true. Mm-hmm. Okay, Romans 12:2.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and perfect will.
One of the most challenging, and I guess it always has been, things for us as Christian leaders is the influence of the world. And you are combating the world's influence daily. You know, when you're trying to teach and minister about God's way of doing things, there is so much other media on the radio, on television, on the internet, that is just infiltrating our society and telling people, no, that is not the way. That Bible stuff, that church stuff is so outdated. So we have to make sure that we are not conforming to the world's standard of doing things. And often when I teach, I'm not saying that we cannot bring in things outside, but we have to make sure that our foundation is the Word of God. We have to make sure that, you know, especially those of us who are teaching Bible study and Sunday school, make sure that your foundation, and I do use things outside to help illustrate, you know, how we, you know, need to be in society, how Christians should live in society, but our foundation must be the Word. We can't conform to those things. And you have a lot of people who use the term spiritual as well. You have to be careful when you hear this. When you hear the word spiritual, don't assume that it means Christian. It does not. Spiritual has a holistic meaning now, because a lot of people say they're spiritual, and then you're like, what are they teaching? What is that mess? And that's what it is. It's mess. So we have to learn as Christian leaders how to discern as well. And again, when Christ is first, he will help you to see through a lot of, I just call it mess, because that's what it is, a lot of garbage.
Guard your heart.
Yes, so true. We have to guard our hearts. And the spiritual babies especially have this issue, because, you know, the spiritual babies can be in your class, in your church, and, you know, wherever we are in the ministry meetings, and still very heavily influenced, because, again, they're on milk. You know, they haven't graduated to, they're still in those elementary teachings. So they haven't graduated to, but even sometimes the very elect can be deceived sometimes as well. So don't think because you think you're spiritually mature, you know, you can't be deceived as well. It can happen.
You could also be spiritually mature and not be bold for the Lord.
True.
You're a leader wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, oh, I can't say that because this is not the audience for it. No, God's going to protect you.
That's so true. So true. Okay, and how about Philippians 1, 2 through 5?
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, every time I remember you in all of my prayers, but also to you and all of my prayers. The joy is that you're talking to the gospel from the first day from the last. Being confident it is that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Yes. And so, what gives you that confidence in your mind, do you think? How can he write something like that, have that confidence in his mind? What do you think brings about such a confidence?
Well, I think it comes back to the very beginning when he tells us to seek peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I have peace, I begin to have confidence about the ministry that I'm in. I like the previous page that it should be evident that, you know, ministry then should be evident in your life.
Yes, yes.
So peace is part of that evidence. If you're struggling with ministry and you're not at peace in doing what you're doing, even though you have trouble doing it,
yes. That's true. And as Christian leaders, we also have to ensure that we have that confidence that Christ is going to complete what he starts. Because if we're teaching something, if we are teaching and we say, well, I know they're not going to get that. You know, they're just here. They're going to go back to that same old lifestyle. Or if we have this goal, and we're never going to reach that goal, we're just coming here. If you're thinking that as a leader, that means you have no confidence that Christ is going to complete that. So again, we have to ensure that in our mind, we say, you know, I know I might struggle. Yes, I'm going to struggle. There are going to be detours and pitfalls, but I know in the end, because who are we doing this for anyway? We're doing it for Christ, not ourselves. Yes.
Be confident that we're in His will.
Yes.
If we know that we're in His will, then it will prosper.
So true. So true. Hey, it's so key. So, food for thought after this is what? Somebody read it.
Ultimately, leadership is more about being than about doing.
You know what? A lot of times we just sweating bullets and, wow, I worked today. I did all this for the church. I helped them move chairs and I, you know, did all this. And I'm just tired. I know that the Lord is pleased. And then you read this.
I just saw
just
this week, man. That's why
it
calls human
beings,
not human doing.
That is so true. That is so true. It's more about being. You can do all of those works and not be saved and go to hell.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think, because I give my time and the talents that I have to the church and to ministry, that's going to send me to heaven. And that's not true. I know a lot of people who do a lot of, you know, great works and great deeds and just go all their way, but they're not saved. Yes.
I devote my time every Tuesday to the Family Christian Bookstore. B.J. Johnson and I, we do a children's story time each Tuesday.
Okay.
From 10:30 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
We sing, we do crafts and stuff for children, mm-hmm. small children and older kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes my heart really happy that I'm able to do it for
true.
The Lord. And see the children's faces glowing when B.J. reads about Jesus to them.
True.
Yeah. And one week we had 8 kids in our group who were there. And I hope this Tuesday we'll have 10 or 12 in our group.
And that's a blessing, because our conversion experience, our walk with Christ, should prompt us to do things like that. I mean, that's what should be leading us. If you're not saved and doing those things, you know, what are your motives? And even people that are saved get it mixed up sometimes. Their motives are wrong. Doing it, you know, for a name, or doing it to have recognition, or doing it to be promoted, you know, some kind of way. Well, if I go to the church 4 days out of 7, then they might promote me to president. No. And that's a pride thing. You know, no. You know, do it for Christ. You know, it's servant leadership when people talk about that. Yes, Faith.
I think true spiritual leadership is by influence of life.
Yes.
I've seen spiritual leadership with people that didn't have a position.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, real leadership isn't a position.
Yes.
Yes. Seeing Jesus.
Yes. So true. So true. Thank you. There's a fan also back there. Someone wanted to turn up. I saw one in the back. Okay. Okay. And there's a fan back there too. Y'all want to crank that up? Okay. Oh, okay. That's true.
On the other side of it, because you keep bumping.
Okay.
Oh, is that?
Okay.
It was a hole.
Okay.
It was a hole.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've kind of, in talking about the heart and mind preparations, we've kind of already discussed some of the challenges that we face. But let's read the other food for thought under there. What does that say? Christian leaders who know what?
Christian leaders who know God and who know how to lead in a Christian manner will be phenomenally more effective in their world than even the most skilled and qualified leaders who lead without God.
True. And again, we have to get away from the worldly mindset, meaning that we have to have all these degrees and be trained and, you know, and all that. You know, that is important. But first and foremost, if you learn and know how to lead in a Christian manner, your impact should be much greater. much greater. There should be a huge difference. But now it's good. But first of all, make sure that you're leading in a Christian manner. And then get the training, you know, get the degrees or whatever it takes to be, you know, that should enhance what you already have. So that's a very important for us to know. Okay? Page 6. Talk about roles and responsibilities. It says, as the leaders in your ministries, you are accountable to the church, and also to the church, I mean to the Lord himself, the pastor, and to the membership for accomplishing the mission of that ministry. Now, I want you all to write out, first of all, what you think accountability means. So everybody's kind of jot down what you think it means. But that makes such a difference in here, doesn't it?
When you started, I was like, oh, good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so everybody's still writing. That's a good sign. Got a lot of your mind. Okay, and as you're finishing up those thoughts, I want you to find this scripture, Luke 12:47-48, and notice everything we talk about is Bible based. The Bible covers us on everything we need to know. Just have to know where to look to find it. Yeah, Luke 12:47-48. Another scripture that smacks us in the face.
Pow!
Those are scriptures that we need. We like to read about all the nice, lovey-dovey stuff, but sometimes we have to get those tough scriptures that smacks us and gives us a wake-up call. Much needed. Someone have that? Yes.
It's authorized to
Jacob. Okay.
And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
Okay, and your name is Linda?
Yes.
Okay, Linda, what does that say to you?
He knew what the Lord had asked him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't prepare himself and do what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me illustrate like this. And I can't draw, but y'all bear with me. Okay. This is the adult. This is the child. Or this is the parent, that's the child. Now, within a household, what is the parent's responsibility?
Guide, protect, nurture, feed, to raise the child.
Yeah, we got a lot to do, don't we? Have to work and all that good stuff. What's the child's responsibility? Be obedient, yeah, that's about it. But, you know, we don't expect the child to go to work and, you know, pay bills and all this stuff, you know. At least children under 18, we don't expect all that. So in the same light, if we, again, are spiritually mature, then there are some expectations that first and foremost, the Word of God has of us. So if much has been given to us as His parent, then much is going to be required of us. And we need to think about that and pray about that long and hard before we get into ministry, leadership, or ask someone else to be in there. I don't care how much you're struggling, we should never place someone in a leadership role just to fill it. You know, leave it open. And that's where I've gotten to the point, you know, in my ministry at the church. I oversee 9 ministries. 3 of them do not have presidents right now because I'm not going to put someone in that role that's not ready to go in there, or who God has not given us to say, okay, I think this person is ready. It's not worth it because you do more damage than good. A lot of people just want to see that, oh yes, I got the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, they're all fulfilled, I'm happy now. But are they the right fit? Are they the right spiritual fit for our ministries? And that's key. Okay. All right. So then, what did you all write about accountability?
Responsible.
Okay. Responsible. Okay. Okay.
Portrait. Somebody. Like
I've got an
umbrella.
Portrait. Okay.
Expectation.
Certainly.
Should be very few, if any, walls.
Mm-hmm. True.
That's the theory to the principles that are being right now.
Yes.
And I think that for responsible, especially if you're a leader, not only are you responsible to the people in your ministry, you're responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
So to and for, I think.
Okay. And when we say this, let's explain, because sometimes leaders get this mixed up. As a leader, you are responsible to and for the people that we serve, but we are not responsible for their salvation. What God calls us to do is to be a light in a world of darkness that we can witness and that we can share, but we cannot change people. And a lot of us think we can, and a lot of folks want us to try to change it or try to change us. We don't have that power. We can influence, but we can't change. Only Christ has that power to convert. Okay, I look like you wanted to say something on that? Or did you have any feedback? I saw the wheels turn in your mind there.
Well, I mean, accountability is huge in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was an older person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like the few walls of... It's the transparency.
Yes.
And I guess my definition of accountability was working on being the person God wants you to be with the help of your closest friend.
True.
Because I guess what I've learned is, I thought if you're open with God, if you're transparent with God, then you're working on your relationship. But what I found is when you're transparent down here on earth, horizontally, with your closest friends, that you can share your struggles.
Yes.
We all have struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I've been struggling with them. Once I've opened up that communication here with my closest friends, mm-hmm. my relationship with God is just, I mean, it's changed.
That's so true.
You know, so accountability is being accountability to who God wants you to be. And if there are walls
mm-hmm.
that need to be broken, then you need to be accountable to those walls.
Yes.
And transparent.
So true.
Which is why scripture says, confess your sins one to another.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so true.
We're forgiven when we confess and repent to God, but when we confess one to another, that's when the strength comes, because you're able to share and there's walls being come down.
People
and people don't look at you as like some super spiritual giant or whatever.
Yes.
Like, we're all human.
Yes. Yeah. And as leaders, we are accountable to Christ and to our pastors and to the church. But we're also, number 2 says, we are accountable for holding others accountable. For example, if I am a leader, especially in single adult ministry, and I know that people that's in my ministry are having sexual issues. And I just turn a blind eye to it and say, well, you know, that's just human nature. You know, I can't do that as a spiritual leader. I've got to address that. I need to pray about how I'm going to address it. But it has to be addressed. We just can't turn a blind eye to things that we see are entrapping the people that we minister to. Okay? All right. And then let's read those bullet points. Let's get different people to read through those right quick.
As a ministry leader, you should have a plan. Reference Habakkuk 2:2.
Okay. Somebody else?
Understand the mission for ladies and gentlemen in the jails.
Okay.
Maintain the focus of the membership towards meeting your goals.
Okay.
Make sure your objectives are clear, concise, understood, and agreed upon.
Communicate and reinforce objectives often.
Ensure projects or activities are consistent with the mission of the ministry and goals, objectives, or realistic.
Make sure everyone knows what his or her responsibility is.
Okay. So number 3 tells us that it says your roles and responsibilities as a leader are to, and again, we have went through various scriptures, so we have a good handle on this. And also, though, at our churches, how many of you in your positions at your church, how many of you have a job description from your church? Well, that's good. That's good. If you don't, meet with your pastor and say, Pastor, or whoever is over your division, meet with them and say, I need a job description. Because if you don't have a job description, how can anyone hold you accountable? I mean, you can be held accountable by what the Word of God says, but as far as what your roles and responsibilities are, how can you do that? I mean, you cannot hold people accountable if you haven't given them a job description. That's just like your regular job. I mean, somebody tells you to do something, you say, that's not my job description, sorry. Held me accountable for that.
this is kind of funny to me. Attending this is to me, it's different.
Okay.
Like I say, even in the health ministry, it's different because, I mean, I've got a full-time job and mm-hmm. I've been there for 24 years, but as a wildland firefighter from Forestry Service, mm-hmm. number 4, 5, and 7, you guys must have copied that out of our book.
and then,
you know, getting back up here to the top of here, you know, because of the accountability, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like the Lord spoke to me and says, one who is worthy of a reward. And, you know, you can relate that back to your job.
Yes.
Are you worthy of that job promotion? Are you worthy of that raise? Hmm. So, I mean, you know, I'm standing on a little different line than what some of you church people are. But, you know, I'm Lord's tugging at my heart mm-hmm. for this singles ministry at Trinity Assembly.
Okay.
And, several of us are, you know, here from the same group here, but it's growing water.
Okay.
Growing water.
Certainly. Certainly. But like I said, you know, make sure, you know, that, you know, as a leader yourself, that you have from your pastor, you know, the Sunday school superintendent, whatever, you need to know, you know, what is my job description, you know. You know, Sunday school teach Sunday school, but what does that mean? What do you expect from me, you know? What results do you expect to see? So just have a meeting with them when you get back if you do not have that job description. And also, for those of us who may lead ministries, for the officers in our ministries, they should have job descriptions. You know, your vice president, your secretary, your treasurer, they should have job descriptions on what your expectations are. And also, one of the things I do before we have our annual elections at my church, I make sure they have the job description at election time. Because a lot of times, you know, we just have elections, and who wants to be president? I mean, nominations for president, you know. What am I getting into? So I make sure they have a copy of all that. They understand, you know, what the roles and responsibilities are before they even get into that. So that helps.
One thing we learned yesterday in the pre-conference that Dennis Frank on their website. Mm-hmm. If you go under like the leaders part, they have, I think it's like 45 different job descriptions.
Wow.
That you can kind of look at.
That's great. That is great. That's a great resource. That's why we're here this weekend. We network and get all these resources together. Yes.
When we go to church, we have anybody that wants to help us, whatever area it is, they have a handout manual to go by what their mission is and what they expect of you.
True. And that's very important. Very important. Very important. So as we go, and our time is about to run out, I think we have, what, 10:45? So we have about 10 minutes. Okay. Food for thought. Spiritual leaders do not try to satisfy the goals and ambitions of the people they lead, but those of the God they serve. That is another pitfall that we can fall in as spiritual leaders, trying to satisfy the people. That's a huge mistake. We need to make sure that we are satisfying God. Because if we think that we're in this to be popular, you have another thing coming. Because I know a lot of times the people that I lead or serve, they're like, I wish God had led someone else to him. Because I'm not popular. It's like, oh. Not popular. So we're not in this to be popular. But we are to make sure. When I go home, I want to make sure that God is pleased with my service. Not necessarily that the people I'm serving are happy with me, but that God is pleased. If I can rest and know that God is pleased with what I've done that day, mission accomplished.
You make me almost want to cry because that's what I tell my students. Mm-hmm. They say, why do we have to do this? You know, why can't I sleep? I say, because when I go home and the Lord asks me, what did you do with Aaron today? I can't tell him. Well, he didn't feel like working.
Yes.
I'm accountable to him.
Yes.
So this is the mindset that we have to have.
So true.
And you know what? His word doesn't return void.
That's so true.
They respond.
Yes. Yes.
No more.
That's so true. Great point. Great point.
The devil has had his earth boned up. It's time for his Christians to take it back and show him who is boss.
So true. You're right. We have to be assertive in our leadership at times.
I'm witnessing more and handing out biblical tracts and getting more people saved.
Yes.
The devil's going to take this whole earth over.
True.
And have them coming to worship him
instead of
the Lord.
Yeah, and that's a perfect lead-in to influence, and you're so right. She's reading ahead, by the way. That's perfect, because we, as Christians, we have to have influence. It says we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And that's the mission. Again, the world symbolically is in darkness. We should be beams of light, not to show off ourselves, our talents, our skills, our gifts, but that we are pointing our light to who? Christ. Again, and once we get here, we say, the focus is not about me, it's about Christ. I have a light, but I'm shining it so you can see Christ, and I want you to glorify him with me. That's our focus, and that's the influence that we have, and you're so right. That's why it's so important that we witness and get out and tell us about that wonderful Savior that we serve. So true. Okay? And let's end up talking about servant leadership. We have three paragraphs, so if three people would take those paragraphs for us, please.
Servant leadership is at the heart of Christian leadership. Servant leadership is not the same as servanthood. All Christians, not just leaders, are called to be servants. We should follow Jesus' example in washing his disciples' feet. When Peter protested, Jesus told him, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." 1 John 13:8. The basis of servant leadership is the motivation behind our actions as leaders. If personal desire was the sole decision criteria, Jesus would not have chosen to go through the pain and suffering on the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Luke 22:42.
Okay. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
The weight of the burden of taking not only our guilt, but also our sins, had become too heavy for Jesus. Even at this point, Jesus could have gotten up and walked away. Servant leadership requires that we set aside personal gain, that we make sacrifices, and that we put the needs of others above the direction that we may prefer for ourselves.
Thank you. And the point I wanted to make was that about a year and a half ago, I went to the Gulf Coast on a mission trip, and while we were there, in our devotion, we used to have more devotion before we went out and, you know, whatever we were doing to help everyone who was affected by Katrina. And one morning, the guy that was leading devotion had this this line of chairs facing each other, and he was going to model a foot washing thing. And a lot of people were like, I don't know about that. But you know, it was so humbling to do that. And what he asked us to do, he said, as you wash that person's feet, pray for that person, and then that person do that for you. And that was the most humbling experience I had ever done. I was like, wow, that had such impact. But that's how we have to be in our hearts and minds, know that we have to humble ourselves. And again, it's not about me, it's about serving others. So that's true. Okay, paragraph two.
Servant leaders model integrity, where their thoughts, words, and actions flow from a consistent desire. The word, excuse me, the word integrity comes from the Latin word meaning whole or complete, as an integer or whole number. One of the biggest reasons for leaders losing the respect of their followers is that they lack true integrity, where their private lives and thoughts do not match their public statements, or that they are inconsistent, adopting principles that are popular and appropriate to the moment. Instead, they should stick to biblical principles.
Thank you. So very important. Our lifestyle must match our ministry. Our lifestyle must match what we are teaching. Our lifestyles must match what we say. We have to be very careful that our lifestyles are in line with what we should be about. That's very important. You see it all the time. You know. I think a lot of times God gets fed up with people in Christian leadership who are not living that lifestyle. You know, publicly they're one way, and privately their lifestyle is something else. I think God just gets fed up and exposes people sometimes. And we have to be careful of that. We have to make sure. Now, yes, we might make a mistake, but don't let that be just a habitual practice for you to live in sin. That's very important for us to know. Okay? And third paragraph?
I'll read it.
Okay?
Servant leadership doesn't fit the corporate idea of a leadership style, but rather relates to the motivation behind the position. If your motivation is to heed your call, support the church vision, and support the pastor, then recognizing the differences in your ministry, members should come naturally. Having a desire to get to know your members should come naturally. Mm-hmm. Recognizing a situational leadership style must be employed should come naturally. You can't treat everyone the same. We are all different. We come in different shapes, sizes, and with different talents. We have different backgrounds and different struggles. We have different testimonies and different issues. A servant leader understands before seeking to be understood.
Thank you. Powerful words. And prayerfully, this has given all of us, and no matter how much I've seen this, I still need to stay, you know, focused on this. And hopefully, you know, we can take this back, and not only for ourselves, but share it with others in leadership in our churches, and make sure that we're implementing this. There were a couple more appendices just to help you out. There's something about helping you with the mission statement, and also about appendix C talks about spotting emerging leaders a lot of times. And that's one of the things I always have an eye out for in our congregation. I kind of say, okay, God, who's next? Who's next? And he will show you some people sometimes. A lot of times you need to watch people, inspect their fruit, and then approach them about maybe, you know, doing something in ministry. That's so key. So this gives you some information about that. You all have been wonderful. I enjoyed my time with you all. If you need to know any information about me or my ministry, there's a table downstairs in my car. If you need to get in contact with me or have any questions for me throughout the day, just please flag me down. I'll be roaming around somewhere. So God bless you all. I pray. pray much for your ministry. Do a quick prayer before we leave. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this session on spiritual leadership. And God, we just pray that we understand that we have to have you first. We need to submit to your lordship, to your direction, and your word, oh God. Lord, help us to be leaders, not do the things that we think leadership should be about, but help us just to be. Help us to exist as Christian leaders that are based on your word. Lord, again, we thank you for every person here. Bless their ministries, bless their churches, bless their pastors. In your name we do pray. Amen. And then God bless you all.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.